Good morning. I want to greet each one in Christ's name this morning. I'm happy to be here this morning and to share with you. I also want to welcome visitors and ask you to worship with us this morning in our worship as you have been already. I feel this morning, I'm glad that we don't go by feelings all the time, because this morning, for some reason, I sort of feel weak in giving a message, and not sure why. But I guess trust God that He would that He will give us strength. My message this morning is about seeking the Lord. And I think this message has been coming over the last couple weeks into my mind. And I didn't necessarily think about where it was going or what was all there. And I will say that putting it together maybe in a clear way has been hard. And so I pray that it is spoken clearly, and most of all that the Holy Spirit can work among us through these words. As I have thought of seeking the Lord, I would say most of my life, I think of it as maybe a one-time occurrence, maybe when someone is lost, and we seek the Lord because we see that we need something else besides what we have. And, in my mind, I've always thought of it more as someone who is lost is seeking God. And I believe that's true, but I think that it's wrong as well to think just that limited. Seeking the Lord, I believe, needs to be done continually. And we need to be doing it, seeking God, wherever we are at in our Christian walk. In Deuteronomy, you don't need to turn here. I have all my scripture written down on my notes this morning, so I won't be asking you to turn to in the scripture. But in Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verse 29, it says, "But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul." So God is promising that if we seek the Lord, we will find him. And there's hope for anyone who is lost or not saved if they'll seek God. If you will seek God, you will find God. I believe that, and God promises it, and it's true. You will find God if you seek him. I want to leave that strong this morning, that if you want to find God, you just seek him, you will find him. And in this passage here, though, we also see that this promise to find God has the word "if" in the middle of the sentence, which means something else needs to be done for us to, with how we seek. And the word "if" in this sentence, it changes the promise. You may not find God in an effective way if you seek him half-heartedly. I think that's simply what it's saying. So I want to encourage those who have never given their life to Christ to seek him. And I also want to encourage those who have found Christ already, who have been walking with Christ, to continue seeking God. Never give up seeking God. Always be seeking God to keep Jesus in our hearts. In a marriage seminar, it is taught that husbands should continue on pursuing their wives, even after you're married. And why? I mean, it might seem obvious, but for a lot of men, as obvious as it is, it doesn't strike home very clearly sometimes. because we tend to think that once we find our wife, that the challenge of finding her is finished, and we move on to other challenges. And so men especially have to learn that if they want to keep the love in their marriage on fire, it is smart to keep pursuing their wife, our wives. Keep learning to know her. And I believe it's the same way with God. In our relationship, when it comes to with God, that is what we need to do. Keep pursuing God, even after we have found him. You know, in this life, we will never completely know God. It's not, I don't believe it's possible for humans to ever completely know God in this life. And so we need to continue seeking God. Seeking God is the answer to challenges that we face in our Christian walk. We know that. And essentially, seeking God is trusting God and having faith in him. In Acts, I'm going to read some scripture and then explain verses as I go for a time here now. In Acts 17, verse 27, it says that they should seek the Lord if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. This scripture is where Paul came onto this, I forget which, what people it was, but they were, they worshipped idols, and they had a lot of idols, and they had the one idol altar that was to the unknown God. And so Paul came to them, and he told them that actually that who that unknown God is. And then he read this verse, he told them this, that they should seek the Lord if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. And I believe this is to say the word happily here does not mean happy. It means more of a chance, maybe in the event that you can actually find Jesus. And this is passage, I believe, is to say that like to say that a blind person is reaching out to feel another person that, say, I'm blind, and I can tell that you might be right there, but I'm not sure. So I reach out to feel, oh, yeah, there you are. And so that is sort of the context of this verse. In order to verify, yes, that person is there. So in this passage, we get the sense that we are seeking God to verify that, in fact, he is near and that he is with us. And that was what Paul was telling these people. You know, God is around us in so many ways. In that right now, in that your heart is beating and we are alive physically is proof. I mean, that God is right with us right now, just in that fact. In the sun is shining, even though you might not see the sun today, it's shining. And it's giving us light today. The rain that's coming. In the trees that are growing out there. And the beautiful mountains that we see. And yet, we can go, I can go, maybe you're a lot better than I am. I know a lot of you are, but I can go all day long, and I miss seeing God's handiwork all around us. You know, I just miss it. Even though it's there, and the very fact that I'm living is because God is with me, yet I can just miss it all day. I just miss it. And, you know, I just think that it's good for us to remember God is not far away. God is here. He's always near us in the physical way and spiritually. And we miss him in the physical, the very things that keep us moving and doing every day. God's there. And so if we seek God, we can find him because he is not very far away. If we're willing to just remember that, open our eyes. In our humanity, he sometimes seems far away. But that isn't God's fault. It's our fault because we get too focused on our human problems. If God becomes far away in spirit, that is because He wants to get your attention and help you miss. He wants to help you miss his spirit. You don't think that sounds right, do you? But if we miss his spirit, then that causes us to want to seek him. So that we will reach out to him again and try to find him so that we can feel his spirit in our life again. Moving on, Matthew 6, verse 33, a very, very familiar verse that we always repeat a lot of times. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So this passage is saying we should prioritize our life so that the kingdom of God is first in our lives. We should seek God first before we get wrapped up in worrying about the physical things of our life. And there are many ways that we get this backwards. And it has to do more with our physical needs, and it has to do with every area of our lives. Even in our spiritual life, though, we get this all backwards. We get it wrong. The flesh of man continually seeks financial gain ahead of the kingdom of God. We just do that naturally because we're worried about what's going to happen to us, how we're going to eat, what we're going to live in, what we're going to drive. We're always concerned about those. And it's so easy for that to take over in our lives, way above seeking God first. It's because we are weak in our thinking, and we forget that God has more than we will ever need. I mean, we worry about these things, but God has it his control and his power, and he wants to do this, take care of us. He's got it right there. I mean, it just, you want $1 million because you think you need it. Well, God can give you $1 million, but I'm not saying he's going to. I'm just saying that if you needed it really for your life, God would, it's there. We have all we need with God as number one, as first, and we move on to number second easily in our lives. That doesn't mean that we do nothing because God can do it all for us. It means that we do what we know, and a lot of times that's pretty little, and then we just let it into God's hand after that, in his work, on our behalf regarding our needs. I'm going to speak more about that verse later on. In Isaiah 55, verse 6, it says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. So I think what is being said here is we should seek God while we are still in our humanity, because that's the only time we have to actually seek God. When we are out of our human bodies, there's not going to be any more time to seek God after that. And there isn't going to be any time to say, to think about our souls after that. Now is the time to seek the Lord. God is near right now, and he can be found right now. He's with us. We can talk to God and have a connection with him right now. But when we die, there's no time. There's no chance of that. 2 Chronicles 12, verse 14 says, and he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. This is talking about Rehoboam, and God gave him a second chance because he was evil. And I think this verse is saying that after he had a second chance, he did repent. But I don't think that he repented correctly. So it's suggesting that because Rehoboam was not sincere, nor was he committed to seek God, that he couldn't get his life back together, really, even though God gave him that second chance. And I don't think God gives us all second and third and fourth and fifth chances. He gives us a lot of chances. We have all of our life to seek him and to get it right. But this verse is saying that he didn't repent correctly. He maybe repented. He sought God half-heartedly. He didn't find God like God wanted to be found. Rehoboam did not find God like God wanted him to be found. And I would like to look at some reasons why we need to seek God next. The most obvious reason is what we learn from childhood is people are lost and unsaved. And when we are lost and unsaved, we need God in our life. And the Bible says plainly that we seek him, we will find him. The next thing that I think of is I think there are a lot of Christians, many of us, I've done this in my own life, I do it, and I'll probably fall again in this thing, where being a Christian is a lot harder than what it needs to be. It's a lot harder than what God intended it to be for me. And I think of in the book of James, the writer speaks about a double-minded man who is unstable in all his ways and is like a boat on the rough sea being tossed to and fro, back and forth, over this way, that way. And that boat is never making any progress towards the final destination. It just sort of goes from this way part of the sea to that part of the sea, back and forth, but it's never getting anywhere. It's always just spinning, stumbling around. And, you know, that's a lot of times what we do in our Christian walk, because we're not seeking God like we should. We are just unstable, being tossed to and fro. And if we seek him, we can become stable even in the rough seas, even in the seas that are overwhelming to us. If we seek God, we can keep our focus on that goal of our destination, even while we're in the midst of the rolling sea. The other thing that I was thinking about is we need to seek God because we lack the Holy Spirit in our Christian life. When we become a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives and is present with us. We believe that and we teach that. As we grow closer to God and learn how to be a good Christian, the ever-presence of the Holy Spirit becomes more helpful and powerful in our walk. As we become closer to God, as we become more righteous in our salvation that God has saved us with. But what about after a person becomes a Christian and we do not pursue God or really try that hard to be all in for him? We sort of just get by. I believe the Holy Spirit becomes less powerful in our lives. And not because the Holy Spirit has changed, but because we did not give God the place in our heart for the Holy Spirit to work. God does not force himself on us, but ask us to let him abide there. If we are fumbling around in our Christian walk, I think that's a sign that we're not seeking God. We're not caring. We're not pursuing God. We're trying to have, it's just like in our marriage, we're trying to have an awesome marriage and love each other and be in love with each other, but we're not courting anymore. We're just getting by. We're not pursuing. And that happens in our Christian walk. We need to seek God continually to have power, to think right, and to have strength, to choose not to sin. And so next I want to look at why don't we have desire to seek the Lord? I struggle with a lack of desire myself, and I have talked with many people who say they also struggle in this area. I want to serve the Lord. I want to seek the Lord, really, but yet, do I want to? It seems like my desire is low. Why do we struggle in having desire to seek God? And this is a progression that we go through, and I would like to break it into two parts. I believe losing our desire is the last part of the two-part of the progression. And the first part is lacking motivation. We lack motivation to seek God because we have our priorities mixed up. Remember we read in Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, "Seek God first, and all these things shall be added unto you." We lack motivation to seek God because we focus on ourselves first before the kingdom of God. It's all about us. We focus on me. We're so focused on myself. We get into thinking that this whole thing is about me. And our thinking becomes our thinking, our own thinking, we think, is first. And we think our own thinking is most important. And we think that our needs are first. I'm accusing you, but I'm being hard on myself too. I believe this is for me first. And we put our activities first. We put whatever it takes to please us first. Because we're naturally selfish. And we can't help but think that this is all about what's going on in my life. We just naturally feel that way. And it's all about how I've been mistreated. Does it ever come to our mind that God could have allowed mistreatment in our lives to help us seek him better? But instead, we get deceived easily thinking that if I've gotten mistreated or somebody did say it shouldn't have done to me, and he was a Christian too, a brother on top of it all, that we can't let go of that. We hang on to it. This is about me, we think. And it's a thing that we struggle with in our lives. It's about my struggles. It's about the life that I have to live. And it's about my fitness. It's about, you might not deal with this, but I deal with this. But it's about how stupid I am. Or it's about how cool I am. It's about how old I am. I thought of that when I think of Brother John's sermon last Sunday. It's about me first. And we try to make it look like we're willing to be last, but God knows who we really are. And this attitude and this thinking will take your motivation to seek God away. Because when we have this thinking, it blinds us to see God or to even want to seek him. It takes our motivation away. If we want to have motivation to seek God, we have to look around and see God away from us, outside of us. And remember, God is not very far away. He is very near. If you want to be serious about this, I encourage you to do a Bible study. I did a small one of this, but I would like to do more. And this got me going on this subject a little. But I encourage you to study about the rewards that God has for those who seek him. Do a Bible study on that. And for those who realize what all God has done for you, study that very much, and you will be surprised. You'll be more surprised than what you think you know already. That has an amazing motivational process in your life if you will see scripturally what is in store for those who seek God and for those who are doing or realize what God has done for them. So this is a progression that happens because we are not focused on putting the kingdom of God first. We're focused on putting me first too much. And that takes our motivation to seek God. And eventually, we become so discouraged that we don't have the power to overcome our fleshly desires, and we sin. Sin is what takes our desire away to seek God, because sin separates us from God. If we repent, our desire will be renewed. If we repent with brokenness and godly sorrow, our desire can be renewed. Many people have lost their desire to seek God because they have sinned and have not repented properly. They might have a half-hearted repentance like Rehoboam did, but if you want to have desire to seek God and to please God, we have to be wholehearted in our repentance, in our asking God to show us our sin and to blot out our sins before him, to repent of it. And it's not just the big sins that have taken our desires away. it's the little sins that we sometimes don't think about. It's the little secret sins that have got you where we are, got us where we're at. Lying, like Brother Dennis brought out this morning, cheating, immorality in whatever form it is, and even your thoughts that are sinful, they are destroying your desire to seek God. Because those thoughts that are immoral, that are wrong, whether they're just remembering unforgiveness, those thought processes are separating you from God too. Because they're sin. And sin separates us from God. So, maybe to bring this to a close, I just want to say that there is hope for all of us. I believe that if people seek God, to know God, God will reveal himself to you. And he will give you a desire. And seeking God puts you on a course of having peace and joy in your life. And it gives you a purpose to live righteously. In Matthew 5, verse 6, it says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." God promises us that he will take care of us in all of those ways. And I just want to encourage you with that. And I have a little poem I want to read here this morning that maybe just for a little bit of encouragement. The poem is God. It says, the title says God. And then it says, "No time for God." No time for God? What fools we are to clutter up our lives with common things and leave without heart's gate the Lord of life and life itself, our God. No time for God? As soon to say, no time to eat or sleep or love or die, take time for God. Or you shall dwarf your soul, and when the angel death comes knocking at your door, a poor mishapen thing you'll be to step into eternity. No time for God? That day when sickness comes or trouble finds you out, and you cry out for God, will he have time for you? No time for God? Someday you'll lay aside this mortal self and make your way to worlds unknown. And when you meet him face to face, will he, should he have time for you? That's not a, just a little bit of encouragement there to spur our minds on to think about these things, to seek God. God can be found today, and he can be found in this life. Whatever time of life we have left, God can be found, and he can be with us if we seek him. And the Bible says, seek him while he can be found. Thank you for your attention. I'll close with that.